We come now to Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Okay, so on the Lord's Day, when we were hearing about offering prayer as a spiritual sacrifice, remember we talked about the kinds of things that before Jesus came, you might have to bring to worship. You might have to bring the grain for the grain offering, or the wine for the drink offering. You might have to bring an animal or of some kind for whatever kind of offering, whatever kind of sacrifice you were bringing at the time. And these things cost different amounts. You remember when Jesus was being redeemed as the firstborn from Mary's womb, they gave two turtle doves because they were poor. So the Bible has prepared us for hundreds of pages until we get to verse 7 to understand how amazing this redemption is. There were pictures of redemption, pictures of the purchase of our life and our being made right with God, our being forgiven of our sins and our belonging to God and having peace with him and fellowship with him. So that when he talks about what Jesus has done for us as a redemption, as a purchase, we have pictures of what that is about throughout the entire Bible, getting us ready to understand this. Except for we were not purchased with money, and we were not purchased with grain and wine, and we were not purchased with bulls and goats. We were purchased with Jesus himself, his own blood, and what he has purchased for us is the forgiveness of our sins. And now it gives us the dollar value, as it were. Of course, dollars are worthless, and much more so now than they were a couple days ago, thanks to our government. But the value with which we were purchased is the riches of God's grace. And you can think of Smaug in all of the riches under the mountain there in The Hobbit, and that doesn't hold a candle to what the riches of God's grace are. In fact, he tells us that the riches of God's grace weren't just barely enough to purchase our forgiveness. They abounded. He made them abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. That the living God, who is infinitely wise, has bent all of his wisdom on this thing, to glorify himself and to glorify himself in Christ. As we go through this passage, we'll see three times: to the praise of his grace, to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his grace. And that all of the wisdom of God was bent on glorifying himself, and particularly in his Son, and particularly in his grace through his Son. And what the wisdom of God devised as the way to glorify himself was to purchase our forgiveness by the blood of Jesus, so that when Jesus spills his blood, and he is the second person of the Trinity, God displays him as a propitiation, as the one who is valuable enough to make up for our despising God's glory, so that there's only favor from God left towards us. That's what Romans 3 means when it says he displays him as a propitiation, that God would display the Son as equal in glory to him. Remember, the same in substance, equal in power and glory, equal in glory to him. And this one who is equal in glory to him is the one whom God has spent to redeem us. So that requires two things from you, each of my dear children. First, it requires you to wonder at what God has done for you, to be amazed in worship to him that he has spent this, to praise his glorious grace. And the other thing is, it requires you to be devoted to him. If this is the price that has been paid for the forgiveness of your sins, that you would belong to him, that he would be what makes you happy, that he would be the purpose of your life, how could we lower the value by allowing our happiness to be in anything else, or allowing our purpose to be for anything else? So you're going to do math and spelling and whatever else you do this afternoon, but you're going to do it as someone who has been bought by the blood of Jesus, so that you can rejoice over him. And you're going to do it as somebody who is devoted to the Lord Jesus, because he has bought you. The other thing, as you run into people who are, you know, stressed about what the government is doing, they're stressed out about the virus or whatever it is that they are stressed out about, you don't need to have that anxiety. You live with a hope that says, I have been bought according to the riches of God's grace with the abounding value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that any government or any virus can ever do that can undo that. In fact, everything must serve my good because of that. And so don't allow yourself to be troubled or anxious today, but live in that peace and that joy. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great mercy to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that this is how you have determined in all of your wisdom and prudence to glorify yourself, was to purchase us by his blood. Help us, Lord, to see that and to give you the honor and the worship that is due unto your name. Grant to us to repent from all living for ourselves and to repent from all breaking of your law, as those who whose sins have had such a high cost, make us to take our sins seriously. And also we pray that the more seriously you make us to take our sin, the more amazed we would be at your forgiveness. We do pray that you would help us to have a confidence in the redemption of Jesus that enables us to live not by fear and anxiety, but by joy and devotion. We pray this for your people in our church and all of the churches, indeed, that that the difference between the hope in which we live and the hopelessness that belongs to those who are without you in this world would be a clear difference and one that demands an answer, and that you would give us opportunities to have an answer for our hope, and that you would be glorified and praised all the more by it. These things we ask through Jesus, our Redeemer, and this household says, amen.